Now from that, we move on to the next level, that is techniques of coordination. How do we coordinate? What are different techniques involved in coordination? First of all, we can coordinate if we have got clearly defined objectives. If we get properly defined objectives as this is what is required, then coordination becomes very easy. Similarly, if there is effective chain of command, which means what, top level, middle level, lower level, or from manufacturer to agent, agent to wholesaler, wholesaler to distributor, distributor to retailer, retailer to customer. This is the chain. If there is effective communication of channel in between the chain, then coordination will basically take place. So one of the technique of coordination is having the message pass through effectively in different channels of distribution, or you can say chain of command. Coordination through group meetings. Another technique of coordination is making sure that the message can be transmitted with group meetings. In group meetings, you can transmit the message and that will reach to the required audience in the best possible time. Another technique of coordination is that it makes sure harmonious policies and procedures. Harmonious means what? There is going to be synchronization of the policies and procedures in the business. So one of the technique of coordination is to make sure that if the company can have a synchronized policies and procedures, then coordination is going to be definitely be in place. Another technique of coordination is effective communication, which means what? There is effective communication between two groups of people, coordination will by default takes place. Sound organization structure. If company has got sound organization structure, now you all can recollect and tell me what are different kinds of organization structure which we have studied in couple of chapters ago. Correct? First is known as what? Line structure. Second, that's what? Line, staff, scalar. Second is functional structure. Very good. Third, line and staff structure. Fourth, committee organization structure. Very good. Then which was the next one? You can remember? Super, project organization structure. And which one is next? Matrix organization structure. And last one, which was that free form organization structure. So depending upon what kind of organization structure is being set, accordingly coordination can be done. So what is one of the technique of coordination is, if the organization structure is sound, coordination will be the best possible manner. Coordination through a liaison officer. The word liaison means what? Advising officer. Now at times we have seen in situations wherein there was a big rift between Reliance and in Reliance Industries between two brothers, that is Mukesh Ambani and Anil Ambani. The liaison officer, the advising officer, intervened and make sure that the things were settled together between Mukesh Ambani and Anil Ambani, the group of companies which were divided. That ensured one of the way how coordination was done to make sure that both the brothers come up to a conclusion and take the business to the next levels. Another technique of coordination is cooperation. So when we cooperate, coordination automatically by default takes place. Self-coordination is the best coordination of all the different types of coordination, because if we coordinate ourselves with the other things, then there is nothing like that, because that coordination will give the output as per the requirement. Next technique of coordination is coordination by leadership. So we may have a leader who will ensure that coordination takes place in the best possible manner. That is why we see the techniques of coordination is very important when as far as coordination by leadership is concerned, specifically to lead from the front. Now we have seen this kind of a situation, coordination by leadership at different levels. Many companies, the CEO or the CFOs or maybe the chairman or managing directors, they are themselves involved in coordination processes, which makes the coordination technique a very, very fruitful result oriented way, which gives the output accordingly. So it is more about coordination by leadership. So another technique of coordination is incentives. So when you give incentives to the employees, that is give them some or other kind of perks, benefits, or you can say something which is going to help them to grow more. So for that purpose, it will help the company to also grow. So another technique of coordination is to give incentives to the employees, which means what? If they are going to coordinate, they will make sure things fall in place, then the technique of coordination will function. The best kind of coordination, if someone wants to really analyze and understand, if you have ever seen a live drama or a live stage show, at those times, if the actor is going to sneeze, or if actor is going to pick up a phone call, or actor is going to act, or the actor is going to create a very dramatic scenario, or he's going to slap, the voice noise needs to come bang on target. And that is where you need to have a proper coordination between the backstage people who are standing behind, who cannot see what is happening in the front, and front stage people doing exactly at that given moment of time the same kind of activities. That is requires a fine-tuned coordination. And that coordination would be more about self-coordination, because they themselves do the coordination as per the requirement of the situation or requirement of the scene which has been created over there. So these are a few techniques of coordination. Let us see how coordination actually takes place. There are three different types of coordination, or rather we can say there are two types of coordination. First is internal coordination and second is external coordination. In internal coordination, we have got two types of coordination. First is vertical coordination and second is horizontal coordination. Vertical coordination would be more about top bottom. You all know top bottom, this is vertical coordination. And horizontal coordination will be between the links. That is known as horizontal coordination. Everyone getting the point what I have said so far? Nishi, did you understood? Super. Viral, you? Great. So what is vertical coordination? A superior authority coordinates his work with that of the subordinates and vice versa. So superior subordinates, vertical, top, bottom. Horizontal coordination, this refers to establishment of relationship between the persons of the same status. Example, coordination between department heads, supervisors, co-workers, etc. So horizontal coordination is more about marketing coordination with finance, finance coordination with HR, human resource coordination with production, production coordination with research and development. So they are known as horizontal coordination structure in the human business cycle. So these both were part of what? Internal coordination. Let us see how external coordination takes place. So it is the establishment of relationship between the employees of the organization and outside of the organization. So external coordination is more outside, between the employees and the outside, or we can say outer generation business concept. This relationship is established for the benefit of organization as a whole. So this is more about giving the business as a whole requirement or the output in the best possible manner. The following are the outsiders with whom an organization has to establish better relationship, and they are as follows. First is with market agencies, they require to have external coordination. So if market agencies, like for example, we have got some companies, namely for example, market agencies like Nielsen or market agencies like JWT, these are agencies who will give them information about what is happening outside in the world vis-a-vis the requirement what the company is actually upgrading. So that is where market agencies would under the reasons be an outsider who will externally coordinate things with the internal department of the employees. Then we may have general public as in coordinator point, competitors, customers, union government, state government, local self-government and the other government agencies. So these are the outsiders with whom an organization has to establish better relationship, because that is these are the institutions, these are the groups which can influence business to a higher possible manner. Similarly, we have got other outsiders such as institutions offering auxiliary services, also referred to as supporting services, financial institutions, various industrial organizations, technological agencies, various commercial organizations. The work of the establishment of relationship between the employees and outsiders is entrusted to a person who is designated as public relations officer. So PRO. So these are a few outsiders with whom an organization has to establish a better relationship in the longer possible manner. So these are known as external coordination of the business. Next is problems of coordination. Now, like we have got need importance, it is not necessary that coordination is very easy and very simple for organization to grow. Sometimes there are different problems of coordination also. One of the biggest challenge of coordination is natural hindrances. Calamities such as flood, earthquakes, fire affect the behavior of individuals and group as a whole. So when there are situations like natural calamities, natural hindrances, then it is difficult for people to coordinate, because everyone is trying to survive for themselves. That is where coordination becomes a very, very challenging task. Another problem of coordination is if there is lack of administrative talent, which means if the company identifies that the administrative talent is not so qualified or is not having that competent skills which can deliver the required output, then it is going to be a big problem. So it arises due to selection of inefficient candidates. Another problem of coordination is it lack of techniques of coordination. So management is not interested to find new techniques of effective coordination. So management is not over here to identify what are the new techniques involved for coordination, but they are more focused upon that how coordination can deliver the output and how it can give the certification or requirement of the business to reach to the next levels of activity. So another problem of coordination is lack of techniques of coordination. If the employee is not aware how coordination needs to be done or how coordination can be done, then it is going to be a big challenge for the business to survive. Another problem of coordination is ideas and objectives. What idea the company has got and what objectives the company plans, they both don't match at times. Or both matches, but the employees aren't able to understand what ideas and objectives company are functioning or performing its task for. Each management has its own objectives and it finds ideas to achieve them. However, the managers confuse these objectives with ideas. It poses the problems of coordination. So even though the company has got managers, company has got individuals, company has got groups of people who will give the output, it wouldn't be able to give the output if the ideas and objectives does not coordinate with each other. Our ideas, objectives and the employee does not coordinate with each other. Another problem of coordination is misunderstanding. One of the biggest task of problems of coordination is there is a lot of misunderstanding. The number of personnel employed in an organization, they should have mutual understanding with each other. But the problem of coordination creeps in due to misunderstanding among employees very often. So in many companies, the coordination is not giving the output because of the fact that there is misunderstanding. There is no proper contact with each other. There is no proper bonding. Or there is no mutual understanding between the employees working in the same department or maybe in the same company. Because there is no mutual understanding between the employees in the organization, companies usually go for a toss, or company usually are not able to deliver the output as is required because there is a lot of misunderstanding in the business. Now, from all the problems, need, importance, features, how coordination can be done with regards to techniques and types, let us move on to the next aspect. What are the steps for effective coordination? How effective coordination can take place? There should be proper delegation of authority and responsibility of all levels of management. If there is proper delegation and authority, delegation of authority and responsibility, then this would set the stage for coordination of activities. Which means that if a person or the employer does not know what work he has been delegated or what is the authority he has got and what are his responsibilities, he will not be able to coordinate those things. That is why it needs to be very properly defined who is going to have the delegation of authority and who is going to be responsible for those functions. Entire activities of organization should be divided department wise according to the size of the organization. So how big the organization is, based upon that, department wise the organization needs to classify the business. Preparing an adherence to rigid rules and regulations, procedures, policies, etc. So then preparing rigid, compulsory, strict rules and regulations, procedures, policies will set the stage for making sure that the coordination should be done based on these rules and regulations which I mentioned. Establishment of an effective communication system. So the rules and regulations what they have defined needs to be effectively communicated. If the rules, regulations which are defined, if aren't been able to communicate it, it wouldn't function. Establishment of employees grievance cell, that is some individuals or a group who will listen the problems, issues of the employees. That is where we need to establish employees grievance cell. Then there should be a proper system for reporting. So all the activities needs to be properly defined, or all the activities should be properly reported. So that is another step for effective coordination, that is proper reporting as far as possible in the business. So these are few steps which are involved for effective coordination of the business. So from there we move on to the next level, that is we will be seeing leadership and manager contrast with each other over a period of time in this particular topic. So the last lap of this topic is more about leadership and manager's journey. The success of every industrial enterprise is dependent upon the quality of its leadership. Now in this section, when we say leader and manager, success of any organization depends upon the leader who will lead the organization from the front. In a business enterprise, several tasks such as determining the objectives of enterprise, designing the methods to achieve them, directing and coordinating the activities of various departments can be successfully performed only if there is able leadership. Any company, whosoever has got whatever plans in track, who has got different contributions with regards to where company needs to grow, how company needs to perform its tasks, how company needs to relate its transactions. If company has to function over a period of time, it can be able to do those activities if and only if there is able leader who can lead from the front and take the business to different heights and levels. A leader and a manager. So I'm going to say a phrase, you have to tell me what phrase is true and which phrase is false, or is my statement true or false. So if I say every leader is a manager, I repeat, every leader is a manager, but it is not necessary every manager is a leader. True or false? Let me put up this question. I'll repeat the question once again. Every leader is a manager, but it is not necessary every manager is a leader. True or false? Can you give me answers? Yes, tell me. Prashant, you tell me, what is the answer? Super, Prashant says that it is true. Okay, Jamin, you tell me, what is the answer? True or false? Jamin says it is true as well. Now let me put up this question to last Steffi. Steffi, you tell me, is the answer true or false? Superb. Steffi mentions it also as that's true. Correct. Every leader is a manager, but it is not necessary every manager would be a good leader. So that is how the leader and manager goes in contrast with each other. Let us see how it functions over here. A person emerges as a leader. The question whether or not he will emerge as a leader always depends on number of situational factors. So by default, a person emerges or brings up its capabilities and skills to become a leader. But whether he will be, whether he will be always a leader will be based on a lot of situational factors. A manager, on the other hand, is always put into his position by appointment. So manager is because of his appointment and leader is because of his situations. A leader always has some personal power, that is ability to influence. So leader can influence people, whereas he may or may not have positional power, that is right to command. So leader may not have position power. That leader wouldn't be having the position power like he is CEO of the company. He may not be the board of directors of the company, but he still is able to influence people that this is right and this is wrong. A manager, on the other hand, always has some positional power. So manager has got a position power because he has been designated as manager, so he has got the positional power. He may or may not have personal power. If he also has a personal power, then he will be much more effective as a manager. So if manager has got no personal power, he's just got position power, then maybe he would be able to give the output, but output wouldn't be as per the requirement because he does not have personal power. So if personal and positional power both connects, then business will be at a different level of height. A leader generally seeks those very objectives which are the objectives of the subordinates. So leader usually check, he usually identifies those activities which are the objectives of the subordinates. So leaders will always connect with the subordinates. Thus there is mutuality of objectives between the leader and the followers. So leaders and followers both connect because of the fact that the leaders usually connect with the subordinates. A manager, on the other hand, seeks these objectives which his subordinates do not regard as their own. Thus there is clash of objectives. So manager says that the objective of the organization is this, and you are who are supposed to fulfill these objectives. You are supposed to ensure that this objective is followed in place, and you are supposed to give the output as per the objectives. Because it is only who you are supposed to do, manager aren't able to relate, connect or bond with the employees or the subordinates, and that is where there is clash of objectives. A leader generally looks at the horizon and not just at the bottom line. He is innovative and believes in doing right things. This is wonderful, crucial statement. That is, he is innovative and believes in doing right things. Whereas a manager, on the other hand, is generally bureaucratic and believes in doing things right according to the rules to cope up with complexity. So wonderful question. Who believes doing things right, manager or leader? Manager believes in doing things right. Who does right things? It is leader. So leader does right things and manager believes in doing right things. So they both are exactly opposite to each other. But if they both combine, and if both the qualities are there involved in one person, imagine the power which they will be able to give the business, or imagine the amount of contribution it will be able to generate over a period of time for the business. So a leader and manager usually goes both, you can say they are two different sides of the same coin, but if they deviate the thin line between the two, then it is going to be a very wonderful combination for the business. Let us now go ahead and see after how the leadership and leader and manager function. Next is characteristic of leadership. We appraise the quality of person's leadership in practice by studying his followers. So normally we see that the leader is a good leader or a bad leader based upon his followers. How many and what kind of followers does he have? How strong is their commitment as a result of his leadership? How long will the commitment last? So most of the times, Leadership, one of the important feature is that it is more about quality of persons. So we appraise the quality of persons' leadership in practice by studying his followers. How many people are following the leader? Based upon that, the leadership would be crafted and it will be focused and function accordingly. Leadership implies that leaders can influence their followers or subordinates in addition to being able to give their followers or subordinates legitimate directions. So leaders usually give legitimate directions. Leaders usually give a path. Leaders usually show how organization needs to fall across in the next given moment of time, or they rise to the occasions by taking up the challenges and accordingly puts full accelerator pedal on the system and takes the business to next levels. In other words, leaders not only tell their subordinates what to do by way of command, but also influence by their behavior and conduct. So leaders just not tell what subordinates are supposed to do, but they all correlate with each other by the behavior and conduct of way in which the business should grow. The use of command succeeds only in bringing a temporary behavioral change in the followers. So the command, when the leaders command, this is what you are supposed to do and this is not what you are supposed to do. In that kind of scenario, they will bring they would not create good followers, but they would be temporarily changing the followers, and then again they'll just subdue and the things will lie on that person's head only. Permanent attitudinal change in followers comes through the use of influence only. So permanent, if change needs to be done, then the attitude needs to change, and it will change if and only if the leaders are going to change, and accordingly output would be given. So leaders are very instrumentally involved for crafting the business to the next level. And functions of leader. So first function of leader is setting and achieving organizational goals. One of the most crucial function of leader is set the goals and make sure that the goals are in the place. As a goal setter, the leader may either establish organizational goals and objectives himself, or he may participate with his superiors or subordinates in establishing them. So if he is a good leader, he will himself design the goals, or if he is a participative leader, he'll make the people come together, decide a goal objective, and make sure that they all together achieve the goal objective of the business. So it is more about the set and achieve the organizational goals. So one of the functions of leader is to set and achieve organizational goals. Another function of leader is planning operations of the organization. So they plan how organization should flow, they plan how organization should grow. So the leader seeks to maintain harmony, which means what? Synchronization among the members of the organization. He arbitrates and mediates to keep the peace among the group. So he tries to find a way out. He tries to mediate, which means what? He tries to come in between, try to solve the situation and make sure that the organization's operations are in place as per the planning has been done. Next, symbolic figure for the group. So leader acts as a symbolic figure. Symbolic figure, which means what? They lead from the front. They give example of being leading from the front. So the leader serves as an exemplar, a model for others to emulate. So they lead from the front. They give opportunity for people to see that they are the reason why the organization is functioning. They are basically the reason, because everyone works as a team, and they are instrumental in crafting the team or deciding the face of the business. The leader provides a kind of continuity and stability for the group, standing for it despite changes in circumstances and membership. So symbolic figure of the group, despite of the group changing, number of people coming going, still the company has been able to grow and go at rock solid. It is because of the leader function and its symbolic figure of the group. So leader acts as a symbolic figure. Leader shows the way how business needs to grow and go ahead. So based upon that, we have the approaches of leadership. So what are different approaches to leadership? There are three approaches to leadership. The first in that is known as traits approach. Traits approach is more known as characteristic approach. Traits generally found associated with leadership are physical qualities, moral qualities, and qualities of head and heart. So every leader will have three different kinds of traits. First, physical quality. A person who has got physical and nervous energy, his vigor and endurance. So anyone who is having these kind of quality, or moral qualities being moral courage, sense of fair play and justice, and he is integrated for the task to be taken up. Or who has got a quality of head and heart, that is, he is emotionally and socially mature, he has knowledge, He is able to decide what the company needs to achieve. His empathy or social sensitivity, which means what? He is able to think from opposite person's point of view. He is objective oriented and he is initiative. If these are the qualities involved in any individual, then he is said to be a good leader as per the concept of traits, which means what? Characteristics or feature. So trait approach theory is based upon three factors, first being the physical qualities, second being the moral qualities, and third being the qualities of head and heart. Next is known as behavioral approach. Under this approach, researchers have studied leadership behavior from these points of view. First being motivation, second being authority. So as per behavioral approach, there are two factors which influences leaders should be in this particular format. That is motivation and authority. Motivation in positive behavior, the leader's emphasis is on rewards to motivate the subordinates. So the behavior is good for the company, the company is growing, incentives have been following in place. Then during those times, leaders emphasize that the employees should be motivated by giving them incentives. In negative behavior, the leader emphasizes is on penalties and punishments. So when things are not going as per the company's requirement, there are leaders who will basically, because of behavioral approach, they'll reverse the case and they'll try to punish the employees. They'll try to give penalties to the employees. The leader tries to frighten the subordinates into higher productivity. So the leader tries to make employees little bit uncomfortable by forcing them to ensure that the business is not as per the requirement, and they may be thrown out of the business because they are not been able to give the output. So such kind of leadership, if the employees showing, it is because of behavioral approach. Another aspect of behavioral approach is authority. Leadership style can be autocratic, democratic, or free-reign. So sometimes leader can be autocratic, which basically means what? That he is having all the conceptual power. He shows his whole autocratism, that do as I do as I say, and if you don't do it as I say, then you are being fired. That is more kind of an autocratic. Democratic, basically he tries to make sure and give a comfortable position. And free reign would be as per the situation the leaders would react. So these are behavioral approach which are based on motivation and authority based game plan. So first was more known as traits approach based. Second is behavioral approach based. The last approach of leadership is known as contingency approach. Contingency approach is more about based upon the you can say situational, or based upon a backup plan, or it is more based on situational system or situational approach. To identify as to which of the situational factors are most important under a given set of circumstances, to predict which leadership style will be most effective under those circumstances. So contingency approach is based upon circumstances or situational based. As for the situation, the leader will react. For example, there is fire in a given factory premises when the factory is on. At that time, what leader will take the decision to evacuate the people or let people die and try to safeguard the raw material and work in progress? Then it would be called as a contingency approach leadership, which is trying to just take the advantage of the given situation or wanting to save the people. What exactly is the requirement? That is kind of based upon the circumstances the leader actually performs its task. So overall, in coordination, what we have seen is that there is a huge human requirement of connecting to things, linking in best possible manner, and making sure that the company revolves around the situation and circumstances and take the business to next levels. You know guys, coordination is very important because of many reasons, but the most important of all the reasons why coordination is important, because it shows or it emphasizes on how company should grow over a period of time. It indicates how business over a period of time will be able to relate the things at different genres of life and mechanisms involved in business success or failure. So if you say, or if we understand coordination, it is simply because of the fact that two groups of people come together with maybe proper mindset, or maybe with not proper mindset, but having all the egos, all issues, clashes aside, and making sure that they all work for the same organization's objectives and goals. So I hope you all have understood this chapter to the fullest of the possible levels, and you have understood that why coordination is very important. One basic reason which we have seen that our V-School also is one of the most successful brand in hybrid program categories is because of the fact that there is huge amount of coordination between everything, every department. any information which has to pass to you, it goes across through a lot of coordination processes. You will get messages, you are getting mails, you are getting informations, and regularly been set up that whole thing because of proper coordination between that operations team and the production team. Basically, that makes sure that the coordination takes place in the best possible manner. So this is it from my end. That's all from my end. Thank you, guys.